heart beats faster and faster.
Ladies and gentlemen, the men who put sexy back in the paranormal community. That's right. This is the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Yeah. We're sitting around here trying to figure out what we're going to say next because we have done absolutely no planning for this show whatsoever. So sit back, relax, and hope that you enjoyed as much as we figure out how much we will. Yeah,
that's right.
Eat
it up, guys. G&D Faithfuls, we are live once again in studio, and we're in the chat rooms, guys. So get in there if you want to talk to us.
We're in the chat rooms. That's good, because they can go to those chat rooms by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com, or they can listen to, in on the internet by checking out our phone number on the website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
Uh-huh, and of course, this is the Ghostman, Sean B.
And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter, who's a little out of sorts tonight.
Demon Hunter, this is the Sunday, March 23rd Easter special broadcast of the G&D show, everybody.
Oh, it's Easter. That's right. It's Easter. That's nice. I like Easter. The Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris and is broadcast live on Omnisound Radio, KarmaCast Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal, Blog Talk Radio, and I Am Haunted Radio.
I dropped my bell. Hey, guys, tonight's guest, first up, talking shop with the big man from River Valley Paranormal, Adrian. Second up, we got the king of Gettysburg, park ranger turned author, Mr. Mark Nesbitt. That's right, everybody. After years of walking the battlefields talking to the Civil War ghost, tonight he sits down with the living to tell their stories. Only on the G&D show.
Only. I think he probably talks to some other people, too.
We're it right now.
Anyway, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast. And like it or not, it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
And your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
No.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on another great episode. Sure to be another great episode of the G&D show.
Are you sure that you're sure that it's sure to be another great episode?
I'm kind of sure it is. You know, that's how we do it, man. It's a flip-flop. It's a teeter-totter kind of show. You never know what you're going to get, everybody. But stick around, because this is the future of paranormal broadcasting.
Is that what it is? Okay. You don't have your pop mic on, do you?
Is that killing you? Can you hear me now?
Do you have your pop guard on?
I don't. I don't have my pop
guard. I keep hearing bang, bang into the speakers.
I'm sorry, it got a tear in it, so I apologize to our listeners, but the Ghostman has got to go out and get another pop guard. Unless one of the ladies that listen to the show would like to send in a pair of their freshly worn pantyhose that I could stretch over a...
It's been a while, Sean. It's been a while.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
Anyway...
So what I was saying, if any of you girls out there got pantyhose that you'd like to send in...
He never learns. Never learns.
Oh, man. Listeners around the world, G&D show faithfuls, welcome back. Me and my brother Demon Hunter is in full force tonight. Demon Hunter's a little under the weather, but we are back in the G&D show studios. And happy Easter, everybody.
A little under the weather. I'm a little under the weather. I have pneumonia, yeah. Sean.
No. Tell them the whole story. Tell them how you're a trooper. You're here tonight.
Well, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, Sean B. and I were invited out to speak at the Just Say No to Orbs tour with Jason Gowan, Tim Yancey, and the Ghostly Talk crew. Sean unfortunately had to cancel because
hold on,
of...
Hold on a second. I say yes to orbs.
I'm not even feeling up to reaching over and clicking that button again. Sean unfortunately had to cancel, so I went out and represented the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. And it's kind of ghostly. It's half ghostly. Half evil. You know,
half man.
And
right.
But while we were out there, we had a great time. I mean, the conference itself was fabulous, Sean. I'm really sorry you were unable to get out there. And at the last minute, you could have made it out, but then we didn't have a ride for you to get from the airport to the show.
So I just got to tell everybody out there, just because you are a part of a radio show, guys, that you have a voice that goes out over the air, that comforts and eases the paranormal community every Sunday night at 9, your friends still can't pick you up at the airport, apparently, when you need to go out somewhere.
Well, to be fair to the friends, that it would have been a 7-hour round-trip drive.
Right.
It was...
pretty hot, though.
Yeah, it was a great time, and... Then for 2 nights, I got to go out and ghost hunt. The first night with just about everybody. Jason Gowan took us all out. And
did
then the next,
you?
He did not. He was very polite.
You gotta watch Gowan.
It was not like ghost hunting with you, Sean. But we went out and we enjoyed the Church of the Damned. I haven't gone over my first night's recordings yet. But the next night, Jason and I went out on our own. It was like a little date. And we went out and did some ghost hunting. And, of course, that means for 2 nights in a row, I was out in a damp, cold, wet church in the middle of the night. And I came back with pneumonia.
Right.
And I've been pretty much on my back for a week trying to recover.
Well, when you take a roll in the hay in a damp atmosphere, you chance getting pneumonia, Demon.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Sean. What are you talking about? When have you done this kind of thing? But
I have not, but I know Gowan. I know Jay Gow, and he's evil, folks. No, I'm kidding. He's great. I'm sure he did everything. He was a perfect gentleman.
I have found some interesting EVPs since we went out there. Uh-huh. And the Church of the Damned itself was absolutely—it was just great.
Now, is it an actual church or is it just like an abandoned building?
No, it's an actual church that is used twice a year by the town, but is no longer used by the church community as a regular. It has no heat in it, so they only use it like twice a year on like Labor Day and Memorial Day or whatever for town functions and. People can rent it for weddings and stuff like that, but it's definitely got some funky stuff going on in it.
It's kind of like the G&D show Cruiser. It has no heat, no AC.
No wheels. But
yeah, it might break down. It probably will break down on the road somewhere. But
So if my voice goes on me tonight, folks, or you know, you think you thought you heard me for 1 second there and then I'm gone... It's probably just the pneumonia killing me as I sit here talking on the show.
Well, I'll tell you what. We love you, Demon Hunter. So if you're sick tonight, thank you. He is here, folks. Let me show dedication to you. A picture of Demon Hunter. Go to his MySpace page. Look at it. Worship it. Put it up. Link it to your site because you will not find another guy in the paranormal community that is more dedicated to this. This guy has walking pneumonia, folks, and he's here on this show. Bringing you the sexy voices that creep through your bedroom late at night. That's right. He wanted to be here for this.
That's right. I was really upset. I had to. My brother actually came up to visit me for Easter. My brother Ernie. I only get to see him about once every 3 years, so I wasn't going to turn.
You got another brother named Bert? I'm kidding.
No, Sean, I do not. I have no idea what you're talking about. Moving on.
Sesame Street, Bert and Ernie.
Yes, I don't have children, remember?
That's true.
He came up to visit me, and there was no way I was missing out on my chance to spend a day with my brother. So he and I got to spend about 4 hours together. It was all I could really handle being sick. And then he had to leave, you know, because I just couldn't do anymore. So
yeah.
Other than that, that's been my week, you know. I really didn't even get a chance to prepare for tonight, folks, so if tonight seems to go a little helter-skelter, I apologize. Apologize to Sean now. It's only fair. He has apologized to me after just about every show, so it's only fair.
Listen, Nathan, these people tune in. Our fans, G&D show faithfuls, they tune in just to hear your voice. So it doesn't matter if you're sick or not. You're here, brother. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to talk about my weekend. Are you ready for this? I don't think you are.
Okay,
but I'm
going to
tell you anyway. This is Easter weekend, right? Everybody gathers around every time of the year. This time of the year, people gather around. They got the eggs. They got the church. They got the whatever have you, right? Rabbits doing all kinds of debauchery and stuff. But today was, in fact, Easter. So I got the kids. This was the state of Indiana's permission to have the I was allowed to have my own children this weekend. So we went to Uncle Bill's Pet Shop. Shameless plug for Uncle Bill's. That's right. In Greenwood, Indiana. But we went down there, Nathan, and they had the cutest little bunny rabbits, man. They sit in the palm of your hand. It's almost paranormal.
No, okay? I think that's pretty normal, Sean, but go ahead.
Well, these are midget bunnies. I don't think – can you say midget or is it little people? Dwarf?
Dwarf bunnies. Go with okay, that. These... Why not? Why not? I the button's too far out of my reach. Just go with it.
These were dwarf bunnies, guys, and they had the faces, and they were all pushed in and stuff.
Little bunnies, big world. Yes, we get it. Go on.
They were little tiny ones. Actually, I think Demon Hunter was in the newspaper, radio celebrity caught with rabbits. I'm kidding, folks. That never happened. I'm kidding. But Richard Gere, that's all. But anyway, I seen these rabbits, Demon Hunter. You know, I was holding them in my hand, and the kids said, you know, I had the smallest one, which is 2 years old, and I had the oldest one, which is six, and they both wanted to hold them. So I'm holding these rabbits. I got one in each hand. If you hold them against your chest, they don't kick, folks, okay? So remember that. If you're holding a rabbit against your chest, they won't kick. They're very comfortable. But I was holding them, and my youngest, Drakey, decided to stick his fat little stubby hand in there and grab the ears and try to peel the – pick up the rabbit by its ears.
Well, of course, that's always how you see it on Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, I hate that rabbit. But he picked up this rabbit by one ear, so I've never seen a rabbit quite dangle from a little fat two-year-old's fingers. You know, he's holding it there, and he decides to let the rabbit go. So all of a sudden, we're at Uncle Bill's pet shop, and we have thousands of kids around us, and there is panic throughout the ranks, right? There's panic everywhere, parents, everybody, because my son has released not one, but two rabbits. My other son was responsible for the other one. So we got two rabbits, a brown and a black one, running through the pet store. Everybody's going, oh, my God, they're jumping around and everything. Now, these people thought they were really cute before.
Right.
But you let wild animals down on the ground. These people were jumping through the roofs, saying swear words, what have you, right? And, you know, the funny thing is, I tracked these rabbits down. I tried real hard. I caught one right before he got into the python tank. You know what I'm saying? It ended up really bad. I could have ended up paying $29.99 for a rabbit that no longer exists. And
would you at least have gotten part of the python? You know, it's
Well, the python was looking at him, but there was a wall of glass between him and the python. So anyway, I picked up the rabbit, and I got him back, and I put him in the cage and everything. And the funny thing is, I see no eggs nowhere. Now, I thought Easter bunnies laid eggs. I want to talk about this because this is a very important thing. This is a very paranormal subject, okay? How do we get – hold on. I wrote this down because it's so important, Deep Hunter. How do we get rabbits with Easter – how do we get eggs from that? Chickens and rabbits.
Do you really want to know, Sean? Because I do have the answer.
I need to know. Yeah.
Well, it goes.
Please don't bore me.
I try not to bore you. Most recently, that goes back to the belief in Astara. It's actually a pagan holiday celebrated now, originally from the Wiccan holiday Astara.
Is that like a star?
Yes, Astara. Astara was a goddess who's you know, drove around in a basket, pulled by, or a chariot pulled by little bunnies.
And sounds like my ex.
She right. would leave eggs, and they were a symbol of fertility.
Right.
So, hence, you get the Easter Bunny. Well, when the actual symbol of the egg being a symbol of fertility and springtime goes back to the dawn of time. But most recently, it was Astara, and when the pagan people were convinced by the church to turn over to Christianity, they were more willing to give up their religion than they were their holidays. So the two holidays were kind of combined with the tradition of the Easter egg and the rabbits thrown in with the Christian holiday of Easter.
Wow. Was she hot? Was the goddess hot? Or?
You know, I never met her. Never met her, Sean.
Oh, yeah. I bet she was. I bet she was stacked. Any chick that could pump out eggs like that, kudos. I love you. Yeah, that's right. That's right, Demon Hunter. Come on.
Right.
Is that it?
That's where the Easter eggs come from. And unfortunately, we no longer have Astara bunnies. So, you know, we just don't get the eggs the way we used to.
Hey, did you guys hear about this, Demon Hunter? Switching stories. This week, I was sitting at work, and I'm going through the old computer, and I'm looking up, you know, fascinating stuff to tell our listeners this week. Apparently, if you guys go to Yahoo, it's called The Buzz, or just Buzz. Argentinian gnome is on the loose, and it's scaring kids. Did you hear about this, Demon Hunter?
I did not hear about that.
Okay.
Tell us more about it.
There is this little fat midget. Oh, I'm sorry, little fat small person. And he's wearing a pointy hat and apparently some Kmart underwear, some whitey-tighties. And he's got a wicked sidestep. He does 1-2-3 sidestep, 1-2-3 sidestep. So it's like a Fred Astaire kind of dance move, right? But they got this video, guys. If you go to the Buzz at yahoo.com, you guys can see the video of this. These kids apparently were sitting around in Salta, Argentina. All right? They were just sitting around being punks, whatever, doing no good, I'm sure. It was after 10 o'clock at night. And they seen this little thing walking down the street, and it had a little pointy hat, and it had little suspenders on and everything, and you see the backside of it, and it does like a 1-2-3 step, then a side step. 1-2-3 step, side step. And the one thing I'm thinking, if gnomes are real, okay, so we got all these little people running around, all these years, can't they find, I don't know, a ball cap or something? Do we have to keep wearing the straight pointy hats and the suspenders and the little old-fashioned pants and stuff? I mean, can't we find like a, I don't know, a football jersey or a baseball cap or something more modern? You know what I mean? But anyway, this guy, this little small, let's say height-challenged individual is scaring these kids to death in Argentina, and I think we should do something about it, Demon Hunter. I think we should get a posse together. We'll call it Gnome Busters, and we need to go to Argentina. And the G&D show will support this, and we'll back it up 100%, and we're going to go down there, and we're going to find us a gnome.
While we're down there, can we hunt for jackalopes?
Yes, we can. But I promised my kids I would get them a gnome by next Easter, and I'd put it in a glass cage, like an aquarium cage.
Of course
so
you did.
Yeah, I did. So if we could find one, guys, if anybody out there knows of any gnomes, if you got any small people living under your house or anything like that, you can spare one. I need one for the kids. And apparently they still got the pointy slippers. They don't even have the tennis shoes anymore, man. They got the pointy slippers. They can't even find tennis shoes. You
didn't
know what
there
I mean?
Used to be like a cartoon of gnomes or something when we were kids?
It was called Smurfs.
Well, they came out after Smurfs, I think. We were a little too old for it, but I think I remember my nephew watching it, and it was like little gnomes running around the forest and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Were they happy and bright, or were they evil?
All gnomes are evil. Didn't you know that?
I think so.
They're in league with trolls. They're in league with trolls. Look at that gnome trying to sell people on, like, vacations. What kind of gnome gets into advertising?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you... You got Captain Kurt doing vacation getaway advertisements, and then you have the gnome. Link it together, folks. I see a conspiracy there. It's evil. It's demonic.
That's right. That's right.
But anyway, man, we got
always
that.
Always trust Captain Kirk over a gnome.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have a plan. Was that good, Demon Hunter?
That was good.
Okay. But we got all kinds of stuff. We got I went out this weekend. We had the official Burris family get together. So we went out and I realized everybody has a haunted house story. You ever notice that, Demon Hunter?
Oh, everybody has at least one. Except my buddy Mark. He doesn't have any haunted house stories.
None, huh? No. Well, they find out that you are a ghost hunter, and they're like, long story short, anyway, I went to this Easter egg thing, and I had my kids and everything, and I haven't seen my cousin in a while, and he came out, and he said, oh, you know, Sean ghost hunts, not Sean works, you know, my full-time job or anything. Sean's a ghost hunter, everybody, so he announces it at the Easter picnic, and everybody looks at me like, wow, what a kook, you know, and we started talking to a couple people. And I heard all these stories. Well, apparently my cousin Philip says he lived in a house in Mooresville. No, I'm sorry. It was Martinsville, Indiana, that was haunted. And he said every night they would hear things in their closet, like something was tearing through the clothes, banging against the wall, stuff like that. And then when they would go open up the closet, nothing was there. His mother had felt a burning sensation on her cheek once, like something had touched her. And she was talking to me about that, and she said they went underneath the house and they found all kinds of old perfume bottles and whiskey bottles and stuff like that. So reading the stories about the gnomes, I told her maybe she had a gnome infestation. I think gnomes possibly do cologne and perfume and stuff like that.
Is our next tour going to have to be called Just Say No to Gnomes?
Yes, Just Say No to Gnomes.
We'll have a little pointed hat with a little circle through it, you know, or a line through it. And...
Well, I was trying to get somebody on the show to talk about gnomes and what they do and the role they play, but you can't really find people that research the gnomes or the fairies or the leprechauns. But,
you know, they're all just made up, Sean. They're all just made up. Fairies, gnomes, ninjas, none of them are real.
Right. Well, I think ninjas might be real. I don't know. I'm a ninja.
No, that last one was sent out for my friend Kenny. He's in the chat room right now.
I get you.
But, no, man, I'm all for the gnome hunt. We'll go out on the gnome hunt and bag ourselves some jackalopes while we're at it. And if we can, we'll set up some traps for some skunk apes. And when we're all done, we'll put together our own little Barnum and Bailey showcase there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we can do that. But Demon Hunter, I got to check on something really, really quick.
Okay, while you do that, why don't I give people just our update this week on this week's weird location in the U.S.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, you know, the center of the world, you might think it might go be somewhere between, I don't know, the North Pole and the South Pole. Maybe it's somewhere on the equator. Well, no, according to a signpost in Georgia, the center of the world is in Greenwich, Meriden. I have no idea where that is, but apparently you can find it by driving down Highway 29 south of Hartwell in Georgia, where markers have been posted stating that you are at the center of the world. Ahala Alahi, The Center of the World by John Benson Chapter, D.A.R., 1923. So, if you want to check out the center of the world, you can either drive on down to Greenwich, Meriden in Georgia, check out the Cherokee monument stating Ahala Alahi, or you can just go over to our friends at www.weirdus.com. Mark and Mark with Weird US and Weird New Jersey. Check out this and many other weird locations. I wonder if that means Sean is back yet. I'm guessing that means he is not. You know, he's not supposed to leave me like this because I told him with my breathing problems tonight, he's supposed to be watching the board. He's supposed to be doing everything. I'm supposed to be able to just sit here and relax, but that's okay. Really. It's just all right. I'll just sit here all alone. Now, okay, I guess I got to go on. Let's talk more about the Just Say No to Orbs tour. It was really great. I want to send my love out to Doug from Ghostly Talk, who, you know, without him, I probably wouldn't have made it out there at all. Jason Gowan, who threw the whole thing together and did a just hysterical ghost presentation. I've been to a number of different events, and never have I seen an event that kept people interested, informed, and on the floor laughing as much as Jason Gowans did. And Tim Yancey, who came in and did a great presentation on both the Amityville Horror, the true story behind the Amityville Horror, not the movie, which a lot of people seem to confuse the true story for the movie, which is why everybody immediately jumps to saying it's fake, because they think that, you know, that the people involved wrote the movie and they didn't. But he also talked about the Bell Witch, which was a great presentation. All of us put together presentations we'd never done before, so it was just about as crazy as it could be. We had a few technical problems the first couple of days, but by the time it was all over, it was great. And if you want to hear those different presentations we did, you can go over to Ghostly Talk, www.ghostlytalk.com. That's GHOSTLYTALK.com. Go to their archives, and all those different lectures are actually on the archives right now. So, are you back, Sean? No, you're not back. So, what I think we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is we're going to take a quick break, come back with our very own Gore Girl with Inside the Horror. And as soon as Sean comes back, hopefully we'll be all good and ready to go. So hang on. We'll be right back with our very own Gigi and Inside the Horror.
The American Ghost Society's 12th annual Haunted American Conference will be held June 20th and 21st in Decatur, Illinois.
Hosted by Troy Taylor at the Haunted Lincoln Theater.
Speakers include Patrick Burns, John Zaffis, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, and Keith Age.
Also, Lynn Adams, Luke Nalbarski, Dale Kazmarek, Stephen LeChance, and psychic Ken Bird.
Don't miss this two-day event with special investigations and tours sold on a first-come, first-served basis.
To register, guys, go to www.prairieghost.com/conference.html or just call 1-888-446-7859.
Broadcasting live from this event will be the Ghostly Talk radio crew and Nathan S. and Sean B. from the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Witness a special live performance on the Lincoln stage from Spectrum Men, the Atlanta horror punk band made up of real-life ghost hunters.
Admission remains the same as 1997, $50 per person.
It's the 12th annual Haunted America Conference in Decatur, Illinois with Troy Taylor. Register now.
Okay, well, wait, just do what you do. Hello, this is Christopher Saint, and you're listening to Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show, and we're the Booth Brothers with Children of the Grave. Yeah, stay tuned to the hot... Is that a radio show? Who was that again? Yeah, okay. Stay tuned and listen to Ghostman and Demon Hunter. They rock.
Hey, Ghostman
and Demon Man. Whatever.
Ghostman and Demon Man, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
And so we're back, and I don't even know if my partner is back with me yet. Is he?
Oh, I'm back, brother. I'm right here. Sorry about that, folks.
That's okay. Sean had to run off, and of course I'm running out of breath, so I went to commercial. And right now, Sean, we have the woman on hold who knows the secret, the answer to the question
What's
we're all
your
asking.
Favorite scary movie?
Yo,
Twin
Cities.
Yo, what's your favorite scary
I want to make a movie. What's up, guys? How you been?
Gigi, I understand you are driving in the car on your way home from a very spectacular location.
That is correct, Demon Hunter. I am in the Gore Girl Caravan, and we are heading back towards Chicago. We were in beautiful Nashville this weekend for the Blood and Ink Tattoo Festival. It's a horror slash cat fest, and it was sweet, guys.
For the Paranormal Swingers 08.
It was a giant orgy, Ghost Hunter. I'm not going to lie. That's so, but, you know, whatever. What I do in my private time is my business.
Touch me.
And actually, I was going to wear the towel this weekend, but I decided against it. I was like, oh.
Oh, come on.
I was like, why not? What about the towel?
You wore the towel when we shacked up together in Decatur, Illinois. At the...
I know. When I slept with you in Decatur, I wore the towel. But, you know, they don't need to know that. But my mom doesn't need to know that, okay?
I got to tell you, Gigi, listen, I went to a haunted pub like I always go before the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show comes on, right? So I'm at this haunted pub, and I just got to ask you, Guinness, can it taste different at different pubs? Because I think so. This didn't taste right tonight. You know what I mean?
Well, did you leave it unattended and go to the bathroom? Because I know, you know, some guy named Earl probably flipped a roofie in it for you, dude.
Why is it going to be a guy named Earl? Why can't it be a chick named Earl?
You know, that would explain a lot.
Well,
Sean leaves...
I'd be afraid if it was a chick named Earl, but
that,
okay.
That explains a lot, though, guys, because Sean tends to leave a beer alone just about every night before the show, and that would explain a lot of what's going on.
That's why we
He's
got...
hoping. He's secretly hoping someone slipped something in there. Come on, come on.
Don't bring your sex talk.
I want to wake up
show.
In a bathtub full of ice with no liver. Woo!
Well, I sleep with you and Nathan. That's bad enough. I could wake up like that.
We do get kind of crazy at the paranormal convention.
I need an
know.
Extra liver.
I eat your liver with fava beans.
Scary, Nathan. No, seriously, that was scary. I'm crying now. That was scary. I didn't know you had that in you. That's a crazy voice. I don't know.
It's the pneumonia. What can I say?
It's the ammonia. Pneumonia.
I was sitting here and my gut started bubbling like the Guinness was poisoned or something, so I had to run.
You know what I think it was? I think it was those crazy guys from Ghostly Talk. I think they're out to get you, man.
I think they are. Ghostly folks, if you listen to Ghostly Talk, I think they poisoned my Guinness. And I think they made Demon Hunter sick. He was with them all last weekend.
I don't blame Bonnie wasn't there. Bonnie wasn't there, and I don't blame Ghostly Talk for this one. This one was all me sitting in a damp church at 3 o'clock in the morning, saying, "What's your name? How long have you been here?"
You said "damp church" on Easter Sunday. You're gonna rot.
I said "damp." You're the one who just cursed.
He did, didn't he? I was just thinking about it. He did. I was like, wait a second. Am I missing something? Happy Easter to everybody out there in the G&D crowd. Happy Easter to everybody probably eating and having, some warmth and everything while I'm freezing cold driving up to Chicago. But it's okay. Well,
let me tell you, that's the one hard thing of being sick on Easter is, like, everybody was having, like, ham and turkey and all these yummy, you know, yams and coconut pie, and I'm sitting there going, I'll have a little soup, please. Can I have some minestrone?
Yams. He's upset about the yams. Aw. Nathan, I feel.
I like yams.
Listen,
I like yams.
That's right. I like yams, too. But you know what? We got to get to the bottom of this Guinness conspiracy because it
just really bothers you, doesn't it, Sean? It bothers you.
Sean, you just have to stop drinking.
Well, okay, folks, that's the end of the show.
We're talking crazy now. We're talking crazy, guys. It's crazy.
Nathan just went off the deep end. Take your meds, brother. Take your meds.
That's too much. G&D not drink.
It's,
I don't
it's
know.
The, it's
I
the
know,
cough
guys.
Syrup with codeine right now, you know, just kicking in. What can I say?
Well, you know, guys, I was kind of bummed because, you know, I went last weekend, saw this really cool flick, and I was all geared up, and we had to postpone, you know, the show and do a rerun, and I was like, okay, I'll wait.
Yes, it was all my fault.
That's between you two. It's a lover spat.
If you guys don't mind, I'm going to try a little Blue Moon at this time, see if that settles my stomach down. How about that?
I like that. You're going to correct the tainted Guinness with a bottle of Blue Moon. I fully support that.
This is
for future reference, if the Blue Moon Brewing Company would like to send us a free case, please send that via Core Girl, CEO.
It's a scientific experiment at this point, folks, on the G&D show. Exactly. You guys will not get this anywhere else. I'm mixing Guinness.
We're doing a paranormal investigation of Blue Moon. We're investigating Blue Moon.
Yeah.
I'm down.
I know. I know. I seen some. I see a lot more orbs when I have about six in me.
And I'm not going to touch that. I'm going to leave that one open.
Normally, I would jump in here and try and correct some things, but I'm not talking, so you guys go ahead.
You guys go ahead. Let the family rating blow up. It's fine. That's what we're notoriously good at, blowing the family rating out of the water. Good times, good times. Mm-hmm. Well, you guys, you know what? I went and saw that flick Doomsday.
Oh, it's hot.
That's hot? Oh, well, okay. Good times. You're going to like this one.
I'm touching myself. Go ahead. Touch.
Oh, okay. Well, I just vomited a little bit in my mouth, but okay. Here we go. Well, let me tell you guys a little bit of what it's about. There's this deadly disease known as the Reaper virus, and it rampages its way through the ultra-pristine hills of Scotland, leaving rotting corpses and mayhem in its wake. You know, of course, fearing global contamination, the militaristic DOS builds an impenetrable wall that sort of cuts Scotland off from the rest of the world. So, you know, 30 years go by, and Scotland is this, like, mass grave. It's this forgotten mass grave. But just when you think it ends there, folks, right? Mm-hmm. No. The Reaper virus reappears on the dodgy streets of London, causing hysteria. The Prime Minister actually sends DOS teams over the wall to check out newfound finds of survivors and a chance for a cure. They're led by top agent Eden Sinclair.
Ian.
There they discover... Did I hear Sean say something? Or was that just cracking open a Blue Moon?
I think he's cracking something, but go ahead.
Anyway, moving on. they actually find out that survival... You know, the teams that go over the wall actually find out that survival is more than beating the virus. Okay. They actually have to survive this new tribe run by pure instinct. It's sort of that kill or be killed kind of jazz kind of thing going on. But,
jazz. Guys,
all I could say is this was directed by Neil Marshall, who did The Descent, which I loved The Descent. Good times there. But, wow, this is a great flick. You know why, guys? Because it's FUN. It's fun. And all I have to say is the special effects were freaking awesome. It had the total black humor of, like, Peter Jackson's Dead Alive, which, you know, horror fans know is, like, the goriest and craziest horror film ever made. But I don't know how many things were run over, chopped off, or impaled in this movie, but all I can say is excellent. Absolutely excellent. And, I mean, seriously, they run over cows and people. There's body parts flying. Come on, that's tongue-in-cheek. That's pure, gory, special effects fun. That's what, you know, all us old school horror fans were digging back in the day. So good times on that.
You're so
I totally have to give props on a fantastic
effect
job.
I think, though, I have read this book and seen the movie before, and I believe it was called I Am Legend.
You know how many doomsday type movies there are out there?
I know.
There's gazillions of them. I mean, we can go back like A Boy and His Dog. I mean, we can go back through every decade had at least what, like 100 different doomsday movies.
Well, no, I gotta say that the original.
My left foot.
Yes, Sean, your left foot. Stick it somewhere where it'll do some good.
What? Did I miss something?
the original I Am Legend movie, which was Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price.
Which was an incredible movie. That's actually one of my favorite Vincent Price movies of all time.
Mine as well, where Vincent Price has to tone himself down to play the everyman role.
Yeah.
That was something.
No, even though we're not reviewing that, I just want to say that the fans should run out and see that, Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price, because that is such an incredibly psychological film. Like, oh, my God. The first time I ever watched that movie, I think my mouth dropped. I was like, this is a great film. This is absolutely freaking classic. It's fantastic. I loved it.
How far did your mouth drop?
I don't think it dropped that low. I don't know. Not low enough for Ghostman's liking.
That's right. That's right.
He's like, wait. No, seriously, the effects on this Doomsday movie, though, you know, I mean, there's hundreds of Doomsday movies. It's like you're rehashing the same thing. You know, the story, I didn't really care what the story was, because once I saw them, like, splatter a cow, I was like, okay, I'm in. I'm down. I'm in. Let's do this. And, I mean, it's the effects that I love to do. It's the effects that I love seeing. It's the gory stuff. It appeals to the black humor. This is like Zombie Sheep. This is like Fido. This is, you know, just the crazy stuff that, you know, horror fans want. We want to have fun. We want to enjoy
Hunter,
it.
Can we say black humor on the air? Can we say that?
The way she says it, we can, Sean. The way you would know, we wouldn't. We are not allowed. So she can say it, you can't.
All right.
Do we have the little thing? Do we have the little thing that the comments of Sean Burris do not?
Yes, yes, we have that here.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Mammon Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I'm just a little slow on the button tonight, GG, because of the sickness and all. But you go ahead.
I'm gonna keep putting
you know, I want to say, Gigi, I had no idea from watching the film, the commercials, that it was a British film.
You had no idea?
I you know what? Maybe I wasn't paying close enough attention or what, but it really didn't like strike me as a typical British film.
So they
were.
Well,
you know what? It actually the commercials actually kind of appealed to actually what I'm about to say. But another reason I loved this movie was. It had several of those cult feelings rolled into one, but the big feeling was that it was a revamped Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And come on, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome was a fun flick as it was. So imitating it is okay in my book. Yeah, you had Tina Turner. Come on! That was awesome.
I was going to say, until I was 14 years old, I thought all women looked like Tina Turner, that little skimpy outfit.
When I first saw this film...
With the fans alone, Sean still dresses like Tina Turner.
Yes,
I do.
But when I first saw this commercial, Gigi, I thought that it was a like revamped version of Resident Evil in Las Vegas. That's really what I thought when I saw the whole commercial.
Las Vegas. It was CSI. It was this movie wasn't supposed to be taken seriously. Like it's just one of those movies that hey. The filmmakers were smart. They knew, okay, we have a movie that's been done 1,000 times. What are we going to do with it to make it a little different? And the thing that they're doing is appealing to the dark humor part of the horror community. And, you know, they're like, okay, yeah, we got some action adventure here for these people. But, you know, it was the comedy in it. And, I mean, the underlying things. And, yeah, it took stabs at government. And, I mean, it took different stabs at different... you know, political conspiracies. And, I mean, you know, basically saying that the government's doing what it can to screw its people and wield more control. I mean, it had that whole feel to it.
Did it have any boobs or anything like that in it? Anything of importance or...
Sean alerts. Actually, didn't have any over-the-top Sean alerts, but there's a lot of really hot girls in there for you, Sean, so you're going to like it. You're going to like it. Half of them are barely clothed. There's some girls kind of dancing around. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Wow.
But the cast had, you know, a couple cool casts in it, like Malcolm McDowell was in it. And I got to say, Rhona Mitra was in it. She was in Hollow Man, Skinwalkers, things like that. She was a nice change from some of these actresses who kind of float to us on their brain bubbles these days. So I got to say I liked her. But come on, guys. Cannibalism, gore, S&M, over-the-top Mad Max. I mean, those were the selling point to me. I don't want a serious flick because I'm so tired of everybody trying to be, you know, George Romero or everybody trying to be this great horror legend. Just make us a movie we want to see. Just have fun with it. That's why all those guys like Romero and, you know, Russo and all those guys, that's why they're great. It's because they just had passion and made movies they wanted to see as fans, and that's why we love them. So stop trying to be serious, guys, and just make a film that you would want to see. And that's why I think Doomsday. It was the craziest gore, and I was like, yes, good times. They don't call me Gore Girl for nothing. So why
do we call you Gore Girl?
What?
Why do we call you Gore Girl?
Yeah, it wasn't for other reasons. It was strictly for the horror and gore.
So you were fully clothed during the premiere of this movie, were you? Or was this a special party?
I was clothed at the beginning, and then I was nude at the end. I don't know what happened. It was the strangest thing. I was watching the movie. I was totally engrossed. Maybe it was seeing the body parts fly off that got me a little crazy. But
I think you should stop letting
Sean
drop things into your beer before the movie starts.
You're right.
Hey, she signed a contract. She's on with the show.
Yeah, I signed a contract so that Sean has to slip roofies in my drink.
That's right. And then you got to sleep with me that night.
I have to sleep with you that night. Wow, we're just taking this one, right? We're taking this right over here.
The comments of Sean Burris do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I'm not getting lawsuits sent to us from the...
the love woman's you, Sean. Double, I absolutely love you.
The woman's coalition of hating men.
I know, women's rights everywhere. Leave Gorgo alone. Stop trying to sleep with her. She's not your sex slave.
That's all I got, ladies. That's all I got.
I'm going to be walking outside of my house.
She's mine.
There's going to be picketers outside my house tomorrow. I'm going to be like going, wrong state. Go to the other studio.
Go get Sean. Leave me alone.
Here's his address. Go find him at his house. Here's where he works.
Here's where he works.
This is his favorite pub. You can find him there. Slip something in his drink.
That's just put right. something in his Guinness, and he's yours. No, seriously, I mean, if you just want to see something, because I know a lot of people out there have been talking to people, and a lot of the fans are tired of all this BS, especially stuff that's coming out of Hollywood, and they just want to see some fun. You know, they're trying to get out of the house, away from their kids for a couple hours, you know, or you know, they're just trying to relax after a tough day, and they don't want to sit there and watch some BS with, like, you know, some crazy teeny bopper Dawson's Creek-ish thing going on. You know, they want something good. You know, if they're horror fans, they want some gore. They want some comedy. You know, they want some crazy homage stuff. And if you're into Mad Max and you get the kitsch and you understand the cult classic that it is and why it's a cult fave, yeah, you'll dig this.
I want it nasty, dirty, and rough. Does this movie have that?
Well, there's some grimy girls in there I think would be perfect for you, Sean.
Wow. You know, I was always a Road Warrior fan. Not so much the Mad Max fan. I like the pre-Holocaust version of it.
Listen, something you guys might not know, when myself and Gigi and Demon Hunter shared a room, usually on the road when we're out and about, Demon Hunter
usually?
Likes to
when else would there be? We live
Demon
in three
Hunter
different
likes
states.
Listen, Demon Hunter likes to dress up like Mad Max with the spikes and everything and his boots, his leather boots. And
that's
we let
why,
him
that's why Sean likes to dress up like Tina Turner.
So. I do.
And I'm just sitting here in the towel passed out because Sean kept flipping stuff in my drink. Right. I really don't know what's going on. I don't know.
It's perfectly legal.
Okay, I'm out of it.
You're fine.
It's perfectly legal.
She signed a contract and said he could do it. Sure, why not?
Okay.
I'm just going along with it now. I don't even bother looking at the board anymore to see who's calling to complain.
Should have written fine print, baby.
To see which group it is this time. No, I mean, honestly, I'm going to say to all the fans out there, if you just want to see something fun, go see this movie. Don't take it seriously, because it's, how many Doomsday movies do we have? Come on. So, you know, that's all I'm saying. And I did love the Road Warrior stuff, but Mad Max was a favorite because it was so goofy and just dumb. And, you know, I mean, that's why people loved it, is because it was off the wall and it just made no sense and it was great.
It's kind of like Sean.
Kind of like our show.
Like our show. Exactly. It's like our show. It just makes no sense, but it's great.
Did I say Happy Easter? Happy Easter, everybody. I did. I don't know if I said that earlier. Demon Hunter, did I say that? Happy Easter.
Just keep going, Sean. Why the heck not?
Okay, then. Guys, I mean, you know, I'd say go see that movie. And once again, I'm gonna amp up that props to the fantastic effects of the film, because I'm kind of tired of seeing these FX artists that are kind of haphazardly doing things. It's nice to see some actual good gore out there. So, way to go, guys. Thank you.
Is that it for us, Gigi? That's all we get?
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming off this weekend, man. I'm just rolling. It's great. Met some great people at the film fest. You know, a lot of great fans, good stuff.
Were there some good tattoos there?
I'm sorry?
Were there some good tattoos there?
I don't know. I was too busy talking to a lot of the paranormal people and some of the horror people, and heard a lot of great paranormal stories, and, you know, people had questions, and it was great. I mean, it's thriving out there, guys, and it's good to see. And, you know, people like Kane Hodder, the original Jason, was there. You know, George Romero, of course, was there. Tony Todd, Adrian Barbeau, Dee Wallace, some cool people were there. So it was great to see everybody, and great to see the fans
Adrian
come out.
Hot. Yeah, the fans, they're hot.
Adrian's
hey.
Hot.
Was there any gratuitous sex scenes in this movie?
Oh, I thought you meant at the convention. I said, well, I can't talk about that, but.
You'll tell me later.
No, there was. Yeah, I'll tell you later. Off the air. There was no gratuitous sex scenes in the movie. I'm sorry, Sean.
So it was a good horror film. It was a family-grade horror film. How do you like that? No nudity,
yeah,
no
yeah.
sex.
It was a nice little take the kiddies out to watch some slaughtered cow part movie.
That's good for Easter weekend. Take the whole family to see that.
Yeah, that's good for Easter weekend. Instead of bunnies, you have slaughtered cows. I love it. It's a good time.
The cows lay eggs, too, because apparently bunnies do on Easter.
The cow that got slaughtered wasn't laying much of anything, so I don't know.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how many slaughtered cows did this film get, Gigi?
I'm going to give this one a 5 because I wasn't overly impressed with it. But, man, those, like I said, I can't talk enough about those effects. So.
All right.
Bring me more blood. I want blood.
So where are you going next, Gigi? What's happening? You got the big sex stuff going on this weekend or what?
Well, God, we're gearing up for the next thing, and like I said, I'm just trying to make it home tonight in one piece, so good times.
Where are you at? Some truck stop somewhere?
I'm probably actually not too far from you. I am somewhere in southern Indiana, to tell you the truth.
Come on by the house. Let's party.
Come by the house. Where are you at? Sean will be there.
Let me tell everybody my address. Well,
why don't you say it on air? Maybe we get a big party going on. And
then
I
won't have to tell the picketers that'll be standing out in front of my house tomorrow
then
where
all,
to find
then
you.
Then all those groups that want to drug your Guinness don't have to go very far. They'll just,
I'm telling you, it's a conspiracy, and I think Ghostly Talk is at the heart of it. That's all I'm saying, folks.
I'm kind of wondering that, too, because I think I saw Doug. I think I saw him with a couple of pills in his pocket. I don't know, a little prescription stuff. I don't know what's going on over there.
I know. I'm feeling a little funny tonight, folks, but that's going to make for a good show. You know what I'm saying?
I think, you know what I think it is? Because aren't you both up for, like, People Magazine's Sexiest Paranormal Guy of the Year? I think he's trying to knock out the competition.
You're up there, too, Gigi, and chances are you'll probably win.
I'm up for Sexiest Paranormal Guy of the Year. Yes, I am. I am.
I think Sean should stop testing the blue moon at this point. But
Sean, how many blue moons have you had?
How many have you tested this evening, Sean?
None, guys. I do not condone drinking while broadcasting at any time.
I did not consume that alcoholic beverage.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Yeah, well, now we know he's lying.
And anybody that knows Ghost Man knows that's not true. Okay.
Well, Gigi, we're gonna hear more from you next week, right?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I'll have some hot horror scoop for you guys. So good times.
Sounds great, sweetie. We're going to have to go take a break so that we can get with our first guest of the evening, Adrian, and I want to make sure I say this right, Skelf of RVPRI, River Valley Paranormal.
River Valley Paranormal Association.
Yep.
Oh, cool. That sounds great, guys.
So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have Adrian... Sorry, I had to rewind it. Shref. Sure,
wow.
Why not? So I'll get him to say his name when he comes on the air. So we'll
leave
talk.
Me alone,
great.
Don't.
Thanks, guys. I'll let you know when I get home safely to Chicago. I don't know. I can't even talk now.
Chi-town?
Chicago. And I want to say happy Easter to everybody.
Happy Easter, Gigi.
Happy Easter, hot, sexy chick. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
All right, bye, guys.
Bye-bye. We love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you, too.
Bye. All right, bro, what do you say we take a quick break? When we come back, we will have our first guest of the evening.
All right, guys, stick around. It just goes downhill from here. Stay tuned.
Believe me, he's right. It just keeps going downhill.
The Darkest Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy. Sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
Welcome to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. Get your weekly download to all things ghostly and paranormal, and then some. Test your knowledge of the paranormal with haunted trivia. Email your otherworldly experiences for Parashare and listen in to the rants and useless banter of Laura and Brian. If they've got an opinion on the paranormal,
or even a great pub,
they'll talk about it. The Deadline can be easily downloaded from the NJGHS.net website. You can also listen to archive shows at PodcastAlley.com. Say, while at Podcast Alley, cast a vote for The Deadline, because everyone knows that at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.
This is Dr. Satan, and you're listening to the Ghostmen and Demon Hunters show.
That was like the second time since we've done this show, Sean, that I have had to run and use the bathroom during a commercial break because...
I'm telling you, I've been going all night, brother. I'm telling you, ghostly talk put something in my Guinness. That's it. I can't stress the fact enough. I've been poisoned, everybody. You heard it here first.
Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
I don't want ghostly talk coming after us either. They're bigger than we are. They'll take us down, man. They'll take us down.
Yeah, I got muscles, man. But, hey, do we got time for a little quick news story?
We really don't. We have a guest waiting on the line.
Well, you know what? That sucks. But, guys, I'll save it for next week. It has something to do with men and dogs, and it's an Easter story. I'll have to save it for you next week. But, Demon Hunter, you know who we got tonight? We got the big man, the big cat.
You know, I know who we have on tonight, Sean. I just can't seem to get his name out right. So why don't we ask him, why don't we ask Adrian to give us his name the proper way it should be said?
Adrian!
Hello, hello. you can't pronounce that? At least give it a try, come on.
I was saying Scalf.
Come on, Scalf.
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 It is Scalf, so I was saying it right.
See?
Oh, okay. Well, you see, my name is Schoonover. So people, when people tell me they can't pronounce my name, I sit there usually and say, no, I understand. Really, I do. After eight letters, people have permission to misspell it or missay it. You know, it's fine.
They get my name wrong all the time, so don't worry about it. They add a couple syllables. They add a couple different letters.
Adrian, we got you on tonight. You're from the River Valley Paranormal Research Association?
Investigations, yeah.
I was close, brother. I was close.
Yes, Sean. It ends with an I there, not an A. So.
What's that I stand for? Oh, my God.
Investigation.
Adventure?
It's Ghostman and Demon Hunters learning with phonics coming your way.
Technophonics worked for me, baby. That's all I'm saying.
So you are the founder and an investigator and the demonologist of the River Valley Paranormal.
Yes.
Correct, Adrian?
Actually, my wife and I are founders. I mean, I have to give equal billing to her.
And Adrian's hot, too. Did you see his picture on our website?
I did. I put it up there. I posted it.
Speaking of your website... I find it really, really funny that you have it down that on the bio that I sent. You changed all the I's to he, like you're talking about me, and then it said like he is the founder who got together with my wife.
Yeah. Ah,
so it makes it look like I'm your wife.
One, Adrian. I was wondering who got with my wife. You owe me back. Some.
You know what it is, Adrian. I was sent the information when I got back from the Just Say No to Orbs, and that was the first day, the Just Say No to Orbs tour.
Yeah.
And Sean sent me the information over, and I said, okay, I'll go right in and fix that. And I usually try and turn it into, like, third person so that it's not a first-person statement. And as I started typing out changing the whole thing, I've just been so sick all week, I said, you know what? I'm just going to tell the machine to turn all the I's into he's. Yeah. So I told the program to do that and never even thought about the rest of this stuff.
It cracked me up. I read that and I said, I got to bring that up.
Well, I was wondering where my wife went all those years ago. So now I know it was like in a paranormal black hole that Adrian was on the other side.
If Demon Hunter was your defense attorney and you went to court, you could say, Your Honor, he was caught peeing on the fire extinguisher at 3 o'clock in the morning. All right?
Uh-oh.
That's all I'm saying. Adrian, you know what's happened to you. I mean, come on. Come on.
So, huh? Besides the fact that I have totally messed up your bio there, Adrian.
That's okay.
But it does mention, like, how you were really a skeptic before you got into this. Now, were you a skeptic or were you a non-believer?
I was a total non-believer. I was beyond skeptic at that point. We lived, I'll go back a little further. I mean, growing up, I kind of believed in the ESP and all that stuff because it ran strong on my mom's side of the family. And as I grew up, I kind of just grew out of it. And then I got to the point where dealing with a whole bunch of people who say they are and they're not, I just totally just thought everybody was full of it. And it got to the point to where anything that was ghostly or anything of that sort, I just kind of laughed at. And actually, we lived in a haunted house. And this was about a little more than 8 years ago. And my wife was experiencing all kinds of stuff. And she would come and tell me that stuff was going on. And being the typical narrow-minded male that I was, I made fun of her. And,
now, I will. I take offense to that. I'm a very untypical narrow-minded male. So
don't believe it, Adrian.
I don't. But anyhow, no, we was dealing with stuff in the house. Actually, my wife was dealing with stuff in the house. And one time she told me that she was actually touched, and that freaked her out. And, of course, I had great fun with that and with all my friends and making fun of my wife, you know, and having her tell this ghost story that we were having. I continued to make fun of her until I had my own experience, and then I felt like an idiot.
Yeah.
Now I know truly that I am.
Well, welcome to the man race. Yeah, because I've been made to feel like an idiot quite a few times. But anyway, going on, so you guys lived in a haunted house, Adrian, or what?
Yeah, I mean, and funny enough, what happened was it opened my eyes to this stuff that was around me, and that not everybody who said they seen a ghost or had dealings was crazy, because, you know, that would have to say that I was at that point. Actually, I saw something at the same time my wife did. And, of course, I went tight-lipped about it. She said, did you just see that? I said, I saw something. And and I told her to describe it to me, and she did. So there was no denying it at that point. So we, as fate would have it, moved out of that house, got another job, and lived in another house that was not haunted, and only for a year. And then we bought a house, and it had activity in it as well. So one day when I chased a shadow around our house, I realized that there's no way that shadow could have been there. That's when I decided to make a group.
Right. Right. Now, I know for a fact I've been out on dates before where I ended up in bed with certain females, and I told them that a shadow had led me there. So did that work for you, Adrian? Was that the same lineup you told them, or what?
No. I told my wife that I saw a shadow because she had told me that she'd been seeing stuff in this house as well. I asked her, you know, is there every place we're at going to be haunted? And, when I told her that, she just pointed at me and said, see, I told you. So.
So it was just a shadow. Could you make it out?
It was kind of a blob.
Okay.
I don't really know how to describe it other than it seemed like a smudge in my vision. Right. I don't know how else. It was just a black, kind of nondescript, cloud-like shadow.
And what do you think it was?
That's one of those things that's open to debate. We did some research on the house, and there was, back in the 60s, a murder-suicide that dealt with the people who owned the land. And that's the only thing that we could come across. We did do some EVP work in the house. We got some interesting stuff, but it wasn't what we was expecting.
Yeah, yeah. So did you guys ever try, because you are the founder of the association that you're with, and you guys do EVP and you have the EMF meters and all that stuff. So at what point in this haunting did you guys start experimenting with this stuff, EVPs and stuff like that?
Well, the only thing that we've actually got was EVP in our house. We have not experienced anything that had to deal with, of course, we've had personal experience, but we've not had any luck with EMF detectors or any kind of temperature drops. We've had some smells that yeah. we couldn't explain. And, of course, our animals freak out. But we've never caught anything outside of the EVPs.
Now, I've often wondered with the animals freaking out on haunts. I grew up my whole life around animals. And, you know, sure, I think that they can react to hauntings and to spiritual energy. But we tend to people, as people, tend to give the fact that we can't see what they're reacting to the idea that it's something supernatural, where it could be a sound miles away. It could be, you know, so have there been, like, occurrences where they've been reacting the exact same way again and again and again, and you were able to show that it wasn't like a fire alarm 6 blocks down that goes off every 3 weeks or something?
Yeah,
like that.
Because I got my dog is pretty level minded, if you can say that a dog is, and there are times when he just will really react to something differently, and it's not in any one specific part of the house. Whatever we have in here, like I said, I chase it around my house, so it's not in any one thing. I do believe it's intelligent because it was moving away from me the whole time. The only time that I really had something that I could 100% say that he was reacting to something in the house was right after we did an investigation that on the website. It's labeled the Summer Field, and there was a moment. I mean, my dog goes outside to use the restroom when he don't like to be outside. He's an indoor dog. And open up the door to let him in. He usually just runs in at full steam. And that's what he was doing. He was coming, and as soon as he got to the door jamb, he just stopped dead, backed up about 10 feet or so, and then turned around and basically hauled it into the backyard. So, I mean, go ahead.
No, you see, when I went out to see Demon Hunter, right, we were in Connecticut, and I went out in his backyard to use the bathroom, and when I got to the doorstep...
Now, I did have a bathroom inside the house. Sean just didn't know how to use one, so it was...
I'm from Indiana, folks. I feel best outdoors, you know what I mean?
And Sean walked up to the door, and suddenly he stopped and turned around and just took running off, and I didn't know what...
Well, see, Nathan, you got to remember, Adrian knows me already. He's drank with me. We were at the pub together. We fellowship. So he accepts me for who I am.
Yeah, just I was not the one on the floor, though. And neither were you.
Were you the one slipping something into his drink tonight, Adrian? Because
my arms aren't that long.
But, where is River Valley?
River Valley Paranormal is just in the River Valley area in Arkansas, which is basically, to find it on the map, is right where I-40 crosses into Oklahoma from Arkansas. It's just on the western border of Arkansas.
Okay.
So it encompasses a large area. I didn't want to say Fort Smith Paranormal. I wanted to say, you know, a wider area.
So
I didn't want to use a name.
Now, where was that, Sean, that we went down to Arkansas, the Crescent Hotel?
Yeah, we went to the Crescent to do a, we did a radio thing, so we pretty much stayed at the Crescent. But, yeah, we were in that area. Was that the part of the River Valley?
That's in northwest Arkansas.
So you're south of us.
They're about 2 hours north of us.
So you're south of the Crescent.
Oh, yeah.
Which is in, what's the name of that city?
That the Crescent's in?
Yeah,
That's Eureka Springs.
Eureka Springs. Thank you. Normally I would have that kind of information written in front of me, but Sean did me no good this week. He gave me nothing.
That's where Demon Hunter and myself took those sexy photos of us and put them up on the web. That's right.
I took a look at your site. As a matter of fact, I even linked your site to ours.
Oh, that's cool.
Did you print up a poster? You got a poster on your wall?
we'll autograph it even.
That'd be awesome.
Now, what kind of paranormal activity you get down there in Arkansas outside of the Crescent Hotel?
Well, I mean, I will say that I've never been to the Crescent Hotel. My wife has, and we do have something that we got from there when they were did their little thing, but they just went up there to look around. I have not gone to investigate the Crescent because it's hard to actually do an investigation there. You can go on a tour. Generally, the same thing that you have everywhere. You have your residential haunts. We have a...
up here we get a lot of Civil War haunts and out by Sean.
Well, there's a lot of Civil War stuff here. If you know your Western history and your Civil War history, Fort Smith was actually a big part of that. As far as... This was the launching ground to the West. They would come here, and this would be the final stop before you went into Indian territory. And Fort Smith, a lot of battles that kept going back and forth between the Union and Confederate forces. It just flip-flopped a couple times. But there's a lot of battle fields out here as well. We also got a great historic district over here. It's got... I don't know if you know any, have heard anything about Judge Parker. He was a hanging judge.
I haven't heard of that.
You don't?
No.
He's the most hangingest judge in the United States history.
Really?
I'm trying to get into there real bad, but they don't want any investigators in there. They don't want to be known for that.
So pretty much if our show would have been around back then, Demon Hunter, in Arkansas, we would have been done.
Who's this wee white man?
Hey, we got we also got something really interesting out here about 40 minutes away from us. We have our very own tuberculosis sanitarium in Boonville, Arkansas.
Right now I feel like I belong there.
Do you? Come on.
Well, with this pneumonia, yeah, I think I fit pretty much in.
Well, it was one of the largest in the United States, if not the largest in the United States. We had a great opportunity to go out there and investigate.
Yeah. So let me tell you something. Adrian, when you go on these investigations, brother, tell me about the craziest location you've been to in Arkansas. You know, ghost hunters all around the world, they go out to these places. They got one favorite spot. I know you got one, brother. Can you tell us about it?
Well, my favorite spot, like I said, was the Arkansas Tuberculosis Sanitarium. Problem with ghost hunters all over is they're not allowed in unless you're an Arkansas team. The people, well, the people who run the sanitarium there, I mean, it is an actual business as well, so they don't want it to be overrun by people from all over the world. So, but they do understand, that there is activity there and there's a lot of interest, but they only open it up to Arkansas-based teams. And that place is crazy on it.
Now, what does the Arkansas-based teams do differently, you think, Adrian, than a lot of the other ghost groups out there? I mean, everybody's got a different way of doing things. You know what I mean, brother? What do you guys do differently?
I pretty much believe that most of the paranormal teams have the same basic set up. I mean, we all do the same thing. We go in.
Then why is there so much war between the organizations?
Because it's Yankees and Rebels, Demon Hunter.
Well, what it is, it's all ego at that point. That's one of the reasons why I joined with IPI, International Paranormal Investigators, and try to break down those ego walls and those territorial ideas.
Yeah. So when you go out to Arkansas, what place have you got the greatest EVP? Because I'm an EVP buff, brother. So
well, you have to check out my site.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. You were telling me all these great stories at the pub that night. We were listening to Keith and Age, the Rock and Roll Ghost Hunter.
Yeah.
I can't talk. The Rock and Roll Ghost Hunter. We were talking about him that night, and you were telling me all these great stories. Where was the best EVP you've ever gotten? What did it say?
Well, the best EVP that we got, I believe, was not actually in Arkansas. It was in Summerfield, still part of in Oklahoma, just across the border. I mean, right there on the state line. And it was as Daniel and another one of our investigators were going up into the attic. And it actually, I don't really, there's a lot of debate on what it's saying, but it actually sounds like it says, "I got a bitch bag hoe." I don't have any idea what it means or why it says that.
Wow.
Or I got.
Well, then obviously you're not from up here in the north, because I can tell you just what that means. It's a,
or it says I got a bitch back home, but it actually kind of scared us, because the story that we got from the owners, the history of the house, I was afraid it was going to be somebody that they knew from their history. And when I heard this, it sounded to me like a voice that they would recognize, and that was, I was kind of excited and kind of scared at the same time. But I think overall, if you the tuberculosis sanitarium there in Boonville, we probably got the most hits on EVPs. I mean, our very first time through, we got well over 50 audio anomalies. Did I lose you?
You lost Sean there, apparently.
You're right here, guys. I was taking a break. I'm sorry. But what I'm saying, Adrian, you, like you said, you got that EVP out that way. If I were coming out that way and you said, "Hey, Ghost Man, Shawnee, come with us on an investigation," where would you take me, if you can tell us that?
Oh, I would definitely take you, because it'd be the only time you'd ever get the opportunity to the Arkansas Tuberculosis Sanatorium.
Okay.
That would be where I'd want to take you. We also got Fort Chaffee out here, and there's an old a sprawling medical complex, and we got some pretty interesting EVPs out there as well. Besides that, it's also probably one of the spookiest places I've ever been.
Now, have you ever been to a place, because, and guys, you're probably getting sick of hearing this on the Ghost Man Demon Hunter show, but I went to a place called Whispers Estate, Adrian. And I tried to tell you a little bit about this when we were out that night. But you know how we do the EVP, brother. We set up the recorders and we run it, and you ask the questions. You go home, you get a whisper, or sometimes you get a shout. And very great stuff, good stuff. But have you ever been to a place where a spirit has screamed at you? You didn't need EVP. I mean, it was right there in the atmosphere.
I never got anything that actually screamed at me. I never got anything that was really, to me, hateful or anything. Tina got one that was cussing her out. But no,
it's,
I think, go ahead.
It's probably Demon Hunter. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, interesting EVPs that we got. We had, we had done another residential investigation in Oklahoma, and of course, my wife and I and the team were walking through, and we knew the history of this place and was quite interested in checking it out. And when we got in there, we just basically thought there was nothing going on. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that Tina had said. She said, you know, what did you say? The house has nothing going on, is actually what she said. And, as we was listening to our audio afterwards, we had four EVPs of a male saying, "Here I am." And then there was three EVPs of a female saying, "Get out." So I thought that was pretty, pretty telling. So same goes on the other side, folks.
Right. Now, Adrian, I got a question from the chat.
I'm used to hearing it coming and going from women, so I just don't know.
Right. They're usually telling me they're going, you know.
Bad.
I got another one. I got a question from Kenny in the chat room, Big Kenny. He says, let me bring it up again. When you go out on location, is there some kind of a
standardized when technique.
When they do investigations, is there a method they follow, or do you guys just go in and roam around?
Well, basically, to put it plainly, we don't follow. Some groups want to take a totally scientific standpoint. Some people want to take a totally metaphysical standpoint, you know, or a spiritual standpoint. Some people want to go out at a totally Christian. Some people want to be totally pagan. And we know that it's got to be somewhere in the middle where we're going to find it. So what we do basically is we hear what the client is saying. And we go in there and we try to encounter what they're encountering so we can explain it to them and go from there. So, we debunk quite a bit. We're not so much to the point of debunking that we're going to tell these people that you're totally not.
Now, Adrian, if somebody was to come out with a machine that you could actually go out and suck up ghosts, like with a vacuum cleaner, would you buy one of those?
Hey, we met those people.
On my website, I say we are not Ghostbusters. So, no.
Well, Adrian, if people wanted to get in touch with you, if they need help, you obviously do private homes. You do, you know, I'm sure it's confidential. How besides your website is on our website, which is, you know, people can find that at you at www.rvpri.com. Are there other places where people can find you? More information out there about you? Are you looking for members to join your group? You know,
We got our website. We got our MySpace going on. Mainly it's word of mouth. We try to help our local community out the most because there was nobody in this area that they could turn to, which is why we started a team. When we encountered what we did, the first thing I did was look around for a team to see if they can help me out. There was no team. So, I took what I knew and, built it from there.
Right. Right. Now, Adrian, do you guys offer training to your groups?
I didn't hear you.
Do you guys offer training within your group?
Training? We train each one of our members to be able to fill in each spot. We don't have any one person designated for, okay, well, you're going to do the EVPs and you're going to do the pictures. We have everybody doing all the above. We do have Daniel. He was there in Louisville with us. He is our tech guy. He just helps with the setup. We have Joe, and he's the media contact. But basically, we try to get everybody to learn each area. So we do put them through a 3-month probation and training period, and if they need to be extended from there.
Now, during that 3 months, are they not allowed to go into private homes? Because I know that's what a lot of groups are doing now, that they can't really go on investigations in private homes till they've passed a certain probation time.
I don't do that. We try to keep it down to a minimum. There are certain cases that we will not have the trainees go for fear that there's something bad.
Okay.
But, no, I firmly believe that most of your hauntings, and you're going to get the best idea of what you're going to encounter, is in a residential.
Right.
Okay.
So I guess it's safe to say, Adrian, if I join your group, that I won't be godfathered in. I probably won't pass.
Well, I don't know about that. It depends on how much you pay me.
They'll give you the honorary membership there,
Sean. I will take bribes, you know.
Give me the honorary membership, baby. I'll lead your team in victory.
You just like the logo.
That's right. It's a great new logo. But, Adrian, we're going to have to wrap up because we've got to go. I'm having trouble breathing here, and I'm starting to sound like I got a death rattle going on. I'm going to wind up down in that sanitarium.
If you die, do me a favor and come up to Arkansas and speak directly into the microphone, okay?
Yeah, you know what? I've told everybody I'm just going to say screw all y'all. When I die, I'm leaving nothing behind. I'm going to leave little hints that there might be paranormal activity, and then like give you none of the answers. That's what I'm doing.
You're gonna be one of those that make the noise in the other room.
That's right. That's right.
You better at least leave the soundboard to me, Demon Hunter. That's all I got to say.
Well, I left it to. I can't say. Never mind. all right, guys, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have our next guest, Mark Nesbitt. And right now, we'd like to say thanks to Adrian Scalf from River Valley Paranormal Research and Investigation, is it?
Yes.
Okay, and if anybody wants to get his information, they can check it out at www.rvpri. Thanks for joining us tonight, Adrian.
Yes. Adrian, you rock, baby. Keep doing what you're doing. And up next, guys, Mark Nesbitt goes to Gettysburg. Stick around. We're going to be talking about Battlefield Ghost.
That's right. We'll be right back.
I'm able to reach out, touch a ghost with my hand, and lock him into place until I choose to let him go.
Join us on a real-life ghost hunt with Dr. Gary Hawkins and his team of investigators.
Yeah. Oh, you saw it the opposite way. That's freaky.
It came from behind you. How the heck did it come from behind you?
To make that kind of shadow, there is no... The only light is from that way.
That was amazing. There was no light. The camera's facing the same direction it is now. It couldn't have been. I mean, there could have been no shadow passed behind. Unless it... wasn't something that normally creates a shadow.
Well, you know what? I don't know what to say about that. I mean, I can't explain it. That was weird.
That's the spirits of the Rockcliffe Mansion. Seeing is believing.
Buy online. shop.ezproductions.net.
This is Doug.
And this is Scott L. from
Ghostly Talk. Reminding you to tune in to Ghostly Talk on Sundays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Heck yeah, Doug. Visit Ghostly Talk at www.ghostlytalk.com, one of the world's premier paranormal talk shows.
Totally, Scott. Download hundreds of free show archives, read the world's latest paranormal news, and be sure to visit our forums.
Pimping the grassroots paranormal community since 2002.
Dead air never sounded so good on Ghostly Talk.
This is Mark and Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel. And you're listening to the Ghost Man and... Hi, this is Mark Moran and Mark Skirman from Weird U.S. on the History Channel. And you're listening to the Ghost Man and... Hi, this is Mark and Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel. And you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Outstanding. You know, Ghost Man, when we first came up with the name for this show, I really didn't think it was that hard to say.
I didn't think so either, but after a long day, it is kind of hard to say Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. But that was Mark and Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel. We love those guys. They are our brothers. And Demon Hunter, do you know who we got on the phone tonight?
You know, I do, because I actually connected the call.
I'm shaking in my boots.
Yeah, I told him before the show came on that, you know, I know we want to talk about his work down in Fredericksburg and stuff like that, but having two of the biggest... Gettysburg geeks out there on the show right now. He's going to have to give us some information on Gettysburg too, because Mark Nesbitt of the Ghosts of Gettysburg, the original tour man himself, is in the house. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, we're just ducky.
Good.
Welcome back to the G&D show. We haven't had you on since we were out there in Gettysburg with you.
As a matter of fact, yeah, it's been a while.
You know, it was we were down there at the Ghost World Conference.
The Ghost World Conference, I remember that, yeah.
It was...
Mark, you will send me a Christmas card from now on, because I tell you what, when I did your intro tonight, it would have been a standing ovation, brother, because I said... Park ranger turned author. He spent all these years talking to the soldiers on the battlefield, the dead soldiers, and now he's talking to the telling their stories live on the Ghostman Demon Hunter show. What do you think about that?
that's a great intro. I appreciate that. That's terrific.
Well, we appreciate you joining us on Easter Sunday. I know that you guys have been busy today. I know you're out at Fredericksburg. But I got one thing to say to you, Mark, and I didn't get to say this to you at the Gettysburg Conference we did last year. One word, actually two. Barlow's Knoll. What can you teach me about that place?
Well, Barlow's Knoll, very interesting place for a number of reasons. You know, first of all, you have the battle history of that place. Then you also have the history that precedes that. I mean, there's a cemetery that's right on there from the Alms House, the poor house there in Adams County. And it's a marvelous place because if you look there, we know there was a cemetery there at the time of the battle. But if you look there, the oldest stones there are from the 1880s and 1890s. So that means there are a lot of graves there that no one knows about. They're still there.
Well, we noticed when we were there, too, that there's a lot of the area in the cemetery that there's obviously graves, but no stones at all.
Exactly, yeah. There's stones have been knocked over or stolen or disappeared somehow. The other interesting thing about that area is it seems to be there are a lot of what have come to be known as shadow people out there. So that's kind of interesting, I think. It's one of the hot spots for shadow people or dark ghosts.
We actually have a video clip of Sean and I out on Barlow's Knoll, and it was just a joke. We were doing like a Blair Witch Project kind of thing, and we were passing the camera around from person to person making comments, and as they passed it to me, a voice said, "Help me." And
oh, wow, that's great.
It was one of those ones that until we put it on digital and played it back through the digital speakers, we didn't even hear it. And Sean called me up and said, "Did you know there's an EVP on our video?" And it was, since then, Sean and I, and it's one of the few places we can go out to at night in Gettysburg.
Right, Demon Hunter. So. Yeah, and that's what I was wanting to ask Mark about, because Mark, when we first started this show, like Demon Hunter said, we were out there goofing off because that's one of the few places you can go after hours. And we had EVP. And the time before that, I went out there by myself. I had EVP. One of the group members actually broke into tears and said he had an overwhelming feeling of depression and sorrow and all this stuff. But the placards out there really don't explain what happened at Barlow's Knoll.
Well, no, it's kind of a rough explanation out there on the plaques. But basically, I mean, there's so many things that happened out there. Very briefly, the Union line was on that hill. Confederates attacked it, and the Union troops were driven back. And actually, that was the key to the first day becoming a Confederate victory. The Union line collapsed after Barlow's Knoll fell. One of the heroes out there was a fellow by the name of Bayard Wilkeson. Bayard was only 21 or 22 years old. He was doing such a fabulous job with his artillery. He was up on a big white horse that the Confederates actually aimed a battery at him. And they usually didn't do that, but they did in this case. And Bayard Wilkeson, his horse, was killed when the shells hit, and his leg was almost torn off. He was crawling back to the almshouse. His leg, he couldn't move it or anything, so he literally took out his own pocket knife and amputated his own leg to facilitate his moving back. So those are the kind of stories that you have out there at Barlow's Knoll, and it's a pretty horrifying place if you know the history.
You know this.
You know what, Mark? That's funny because Demon Hunter, we were out right down the road at what's the name of it? Demon Hunter Springs?
Spangler Springs.
Mark, Demon Hunter fell into a pit of mud out there. I thought he was going to have to amputate his own leg. But
Well, the smell of that mud when I got my leg out, I wanted to. But, you know, I wanted to ask you a question. It's really not too ghost-related there, but I actually had a ancestor who fought at Gettysburg, and I guess he was a well-known fighter at Gettysburg. His name was Colonel John Schoonover. He was Lieutenant John Schoonover when he was in the battle, who went in with the New Jersey militia, I guess it was, and then was the only officer who survived to help get the to fight through the battle. But
That's
and I've
great.
Been,
I've heard that name, yeah.
I've never been able to find the monument because apparently there's a monument to a family member there. So I've been always looking for that.
Yeah, what you need to do is find out the unit that he was with. I mean, all the units had numbers, so he would have been with the 15th New Jersey or whatever. Once you find that out, then it's easy to find where the monument is on the battlefield. And, of course, the monuments are placed where the men themselves fought.
Okay.
So you can actually find out where he fought.
That'd be cool. That'd be very cool.
Yeah.
Now, what other stuff are you going to be doing this year, Mark? I mean, we know you've opened up the Fredericksburg tours now.
Right.
And there's a lot going on down there. You're the big cheese down there.
Well, right now I'm the only cheese down here. So that makes me.
Well, that's why you kind of moved there, right? It's after you started the Ghosts of Gettysburg, everybody kind of like followed suit. So now you got to get some time in a place where people haven't followed you yet.
That's one of the reasons, you know, we decided to start something up down here. I've been coming here since I was a kid, though, you know, for the history. But the neat part about Fredericksburg is you have 4 major battlefields here. Chancellorsville, Fredericksburg fought in 1862, Chancellorsville in 1863, the Wilderness in Spotsylvania in 1864. The level of battle here was so incredible. I mean, I'm sitting just off an apartment just off the Courthouse Road as the crow flies about maybe 3 miles from the bloody angle at Spotsylvania where they fought for 22 hours straight.
Wow.
In the pouring rain. I mean, it was just unbelievable, the amount of suffering and there's some pretty good ghost stories here too. Fredericksburg is filled with ghost stories. I have ghost stories of Civil War people seeing ghosts. Not okay. Just modern people seeing
so
Civil
the people
War ghosts.
During the Civil War they were seeing ghosts.
Correct.
Of what?
Well, of colonial era people, of people who were murdered. For example, there's a place called the Quiet Church, not too far from here. The church itself is supposed to be one of the most haunted places in the area. A woman was murdered there in the 1700s. A couple of Confederate soldiers then during the war knew about this, and they were out on patrol, and it was night, and it was raining, and they decided, well, let's spend the night in the church. And there were 2 of them. One of them said, well, you know, it's haunted. And the other one said, well, yeah, but I don't believe that stuff. We're going to be all right. So they're sleeping in the front pews, and they hear footsteps coming up the aisle of the church, and somebody whistling, and they were hearing them whistle, the Campbells are coming. And they got up, they lit a match, and they couldn't find anybody. This happened 2 more times that night. And finally they said, that's it, we got to get out of here, this place is haunted. They got out to their horses, got on the horses, just in time to see a Yankee patrol come up. In other words, if they hadn't been warned by this ghost, they'd have been captured. So it's kind of a Harbinger-type ghost that warned them about this in the Quiet Church.
Now, it didn't have big wings and look like a moth, right? Because I've heard of those Harbingers.
That's the Mothman, and that's in West Virginia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Different place, yeah.
Okay.
No, this is in Virginia.
John, you had a question for Mark?
Absolutely, Mark. I'm sorry about that, but I got to ask, Mark, because you are one of my role models. I love the fact that you started as a park ranger out there. You were doing the tours. You were walking the battlefield. Listen, brother, at any time you guys are out there at sun up to sundown, did you ever see anything? Now, I've seen, like everybody else on the History Channel, you got that crazy EVP where you ask, do you know who General Lee is? And then you get the
right
response, yes. And everybody's seen that. That is amazing. Now, you've had the chance, the opportunity to be out there on the battlefield after night. What's your feelings? What have you seen? What have you heard?
Well, you know, when I first was a park ranger, you know, it was kind of just the feelings that you get. You know, we'd go through Devil's Den, and periodically at night we'd get out walk around at night. You know, I had a gun and I had a radio and everything. Then there are other times when I'm driving through Devil's Den and I'm saying to myself, hey, it's a nice night, maybe I'll get out and stop, and you get that, you know, you get the willies. And right. You say to yourself, well, maybe next time. But having lived out on the battlefield, having lived out there, having lived in, actually in the cemetery lodge, I really didn't have any visuals. In other words, seeing something until a number of years later when I actually lived, you know, see, it wasn't on the battlefield, it was in the town, but it was part of battlefield, you know. That's what the misconception is, the park owns all the battlefield. This was actually right. on Carlisle Street. I had a house there, and I saw, all I can describe it as, is an amorphous blob of mist that kept changing. It kept morphing, and until it finally turned into something upright, I finally thought, it's a prowler. I was in my van, so I sped over to it. It moved across. I didn't see any legs or anything, but it moved across my alley and into an area that was blocked off by my garage, my neighbor's garage, and my 7-foot fence, and it vanished. So, you know, that's the one thing that I did see out on the so-called battlefield, you know, not on the park. And then I did see another very dark figure in our ghost house, you know, where we run the ghost tours out of. Right. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw a very small, petite woman. And we, some of the psychics that have been in there said they think it's Sarah Woods, who is the wife of the Civil War era owner of the house. They see her as a very small person.
Right. Now, Mark, I had a question come in from Kenny from the chat room. He says, what's the most convincing experience you ever had?
The most, I'm sorry, convincing?
Yes, sir, convincing experience.
Whoa, well, that's a good question because, it's almost an accumulation of so many things that have happened to me because I am a skeptic, you know. I'm not a true believer. I am a skeptic. And it seems like, you know, there wasn't one particular thing that actually made me a believer because I'm still not a full believer. I'm still a skeptic. I want to know what this phenomenon is and why it happens at places like Gettysburg and Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania and battlefields like that. So, you know, it's more of an accumulation of things, of data that I've gotten that has convinced me something, without a doubt, is going on there. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but I want to find out.
Now, what do you think about that EVP that you got, the famous one that landed you on the History Channel? They played it over and over again, which I have the utmost respect for. What do you think about that? I mean, you were out there by yourself. You know as well as I do, you were out there by yourself. You asked that question, and you had that man's voice come back.
It's you know, one of those phenomenal things that you just can't explain, but the interesting part is since then I've continued to get EVP, and I have probably almost 500 examples of EVP, not all that good, some better, okay? But in fact, my next book is actually going to be an e-book. It's going to be online, and I'm finishing it up right now, and it's going to be called Dead Men Talking, The Spirit Voices of Gettysburg, and you'll be able to download the text, but you'll also be able to download the EVP and my transcripts, my transcribing of the EVP, what I hear. And you'll be encouraged also to listen to the EVP and help me figure out what some of it is, because I can't decipher all of it. But at any rate, so that EVP is going to be up for grabs here before too long.
Now, Mark, I got to tell you, I have the utmost respect for you and your wife. You guys are the tops in my book. I love you guys to death. How does it feel, man, to be the godfather, if you will, of Gettysburg? you are the voice of all these soldiers. What was it, 63,000 men and boys that lost their life at Gettysburg?
Well, that is true. And I do feel kind of obligated to these fellas. You know, I started off as a historian, and always felt strongly about what they did and their sacrifice. If there's anything I can do now in this part of my career, you know, as a paranormalist, to help us understand what they did and their sacrifice, you know, that I want to do it. I mean, this is where I see where I'm going next with this. But you know, it's the men who fought at Gettysburg and other battlefields who that's the important thing, what they did and what they sacrificed. That's what I feel.
And you know, I gotta say, Mark, I love the books of your stories and stuff, but I know no one who goes to Gettysburg who doesn't bring the guidebook that you came out with that tells people the different locations where they can go. I think that was the first one I ever purchased from you. I purchased it from you personally about 2 years ago. I'd gone down, you were at an event, and I said, which one would you recommend I get? And you said, if you're going to be in Gettysburg, get this one. And you handed it to me, and it's been a godsend.
Well, I have my storybooks, which are the, you know, the six books of all the, you know, the stories and the history and everything. But everyone kept asking me, okay, where can we go to actually experience the ghosts of Gettysburg? And so we have the maps on the back of the books, but that didn't seem to be enough. So, you know, they wanted to know how to and where to. And so that's what I call my ghost guide, my ghost hunter's field guide to Gettysburg. We have one for Fredericksburg and Chancellorsville now, too, because we were getting the same questions. And so that is now available as well. So,
well,
right now, a place a lot of people don't talk about, Mark, that I had the chance to go out there. Let me just say real quick, guys. I had been doing this about 7 years as a ghost hunter investigator, very serious, when I went out to Gettysburg for the first time. And when you go out there, if you cannot feel the energy and feel something, then you're lost. I mean, this place is just filled with history and stories and energy from the soldiers that lost their life there. If this place isn't haunted, I don't know what place is. But, Mark, the place I got to go to was, of course, Antietam.
Oh, yeah.
And I went out there and I spent some time. And, of course, it was right around, I think it was, I don't know what holiday it was, but they lit the sacks for each soldier that fell.
Yes, yeah.
And I was
the
looking
luminary,
at the,
yeah.
Yes, sir. And I was looking at the battlefield with all these candles going. And the feeling that I got out there, and, of course, the EVP that I got out there, was more than enough to me to tell me that this place was definitely haunted.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, what do you think about this? I mean, what do you think about all these soldiers that are still there?
Absolutely. I've collected a bunch of stories from Antietam, too. One of the guys I work with at Gettysburg is now one of the historians there. And just for the heck of it, we got together once and we started talking about it, and I interviewed him with some of the stories. And there are a lot of good stories about Antietam as well.
Right.
Mark, I just want to say, Sean and I tend to try and take a yearly trip out to Gettysburg. Maybe we'll be able to get down to Fredericksburg too, but between the two of us, we're just such huge geeks for Gettysburg that... You know, we wanted to know, maybe sometime we can go in to your shop and we'll, because there's all these haunted stories about your store in Gettysburg, and do like a broadcast from your store.
Oh, that might be fun, yeah.
You know, maybe set up and do a 2-hour broadcast and let people listen in here. We'll set some mics around, see if people hear any EVPs, and
might be fun. We I don't know if you saw it or not, we've been on a travel channel here on Mysterious Journeys. They did the shoot last spring, and so they've been showing that all year. One of the sites was our place, what we call the Ghost House, the Ghost of Gettysburg headquarters. And we got a lot, we always get activity in there. So you guys might, if you do a broadcast from there, you might have some live action, but you got to promise you can't go running out the doors screaming like a couple little girls.
No, we don't dude run it. No, we don't
well,
do that.
Well, Nathan, hey, Mark, you know I won't, but Nathan might. You know, you never know.
You said he fell in the hole down there at Spangler Springs. So.
Well, you know, that's because Sean was afraid to go first.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's that whole thing of Gettysburg, I think, because I do have a family connection to it, and Sean has been studying it for so long, and people in general. I mean, we were talking earlier, Mark, you and I were talking about the Killer Angels story.
Yeah,
and
right.
How that just brought Gettysburg even more out to the eye, where people were no longer looking at these as little tin soldiers on a map. They were people, and you really got to feel for their situation and what was going on. To know that there were generals on either side who had gone to school together and who were the best of friends and were going to die that day. You know,
right. Well, I knew Mike Shera when he first wrote the book, and we had we'd gone out to dinner and spoken a number of times. And one of the interesting stories he told me was how he conceived of the book, and it was almost the paranormal experience itself. He said he was out at the Angle there, and he was sitting there, and it was around sunset, and all of a sudden, it's like he felt himself transferred to another time, as if he saw the battle occurring before him. And it was at that moment that he decided he really had to write something about the Battle of Gettysburg. And it was almost, as he described it, was almost like a paranormal experience himself.
Well, I got to say, Mark, that Gettysburg has my heart. It has a special place in my heart because that's where the birth of the Ghost Band Demon Hunter show started. And I love Gettysburg, and I love you. I think what you're doing is great, and I think you should keep up the work, and I support everything you do.
And I know people can find your Gettysburg information at www.ghostsofgettysburg.com, but is there links there for your Fredericksburg information, or are there other websites?
There is a link there for the Fredericksburg website, and also ghostchannel.tv, which is a program that we started up with downloads that people can put into their iPods. Some of my stories are on there, and interviews with people like Rosemary Ellen Guiley and John Zaffis and people like that. So, yeah, sure, that's the key, though. Go to ghostsofgettysburg.com, and everything is linked to that.
Well, that's awesome. And we will definitely be in contact with you about coming down and actually doing a broadcast from there. And maybe, you know, go out on a tour with some folks. But
that sounds great. We can give it a try.
Can you hang on the line for us for a little bit while Sean and I wrap up the show? And we'll be with you in just – we want to say goodbye to you before we end the show. But we got to wrap up for everybody else out there by thanking them for joining us with the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show tonight.
Oh, I got to say is – Nesbitt, I love you, and be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on to our forums because we really want to hear from you.
And, Sean, I'm going to ask you for your help here because I know that next Sunday, which will be March 30th, we have a guest, but I forget who that guest is.
That's great, Demon, because I don't have the calendar in front of me. But we have Jim Snell from the Bigfoot Research Organization coming on. He's going to be doing a live call-in while out hunting the beast, Demon Hunter.
Okay, well, that's what I needed to know then. Everybody needs to join us for that next week. And I guess that's about all, wouldn't you say?
I think so, guys.
I'm running out of breath. I only have a couple breaths left, so let's wrap it up.
Hey, we got to get out of here, guys. Don't go changing ghost hunters. We won't. We love you.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Yeah.